Welcome to the Testimony of Christ Center, an apostolic community, advancing the present truth purposes of the kingdom of God through the declaration of the whole counsel of God. Testimony of Christ Center, changing lives, transforming nations, defining spiritual pathways.
Our Heavenly Father, we want to bless you. We exalt you this evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Your word says that the entrance of your word brings light and understanding unto the simple. We acknowledge who we are. We acknowledge our state. Father, speak to us. The entrance of your word brings light and understanding unto the simple. Let light break forth. Let revelation break forth. Let understanding break forth. Let there be a shift, a marked shift, a change that can be seen. Lord, as we continue to pursue your values, your understanding, Holy Spirit, breathe on us, breathe on your word, breathe on me, speak through me. I give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We bless God. Once again, welcome. Welcome.
Thank God for Endless is trying to perform some magic and some no magic as such. It wasn't. This endless guy said. Alright. You let's go into the teaching. This one, but today I want to close in good time. Yes. I want to close in good time. So let's just go into the teaching. What I intend doing this evening is to try to wrap up on the various things I've been talking about, looking at the reward of a prophet. If it's the will of God, maybe next week I can start going into looking at how we can place demand on the grace of God, even you yourself. How can you place demand on the grace of God that is upon you? You see, Elisha, for example, was sick in the Bible. In 2 Kings 13, Elisha was sick. But the king went to him, and you know that anointing doesn't fall sick. It's a human being that is sick. And the king placed a demand on the anointing. The anointing began to work for him to lead to real success. So, we really... our objective, or one of our objectives in the Testimony of Christ Center, is not to just preach a message and we have a great revelation, we are powerful preachers, and that is it. Our object for preaching the things that we preach is to ensure that there is a shift, is to ensure that we acquire the values of God. We need to acquire God's value. We need to think like God. We need to smell like God. We need to become Him. We are the extension of God in the earth, believers. Believers are the extension of God in the earth. No man would have seen God, but would have seen a believer. No man would have seen Jesus Christ physically in our day, but would have seen one wonderful believer who believes in the values of Jesus Christ and walking in the power of Jesus Christ. And that will make God proud. Nobody would have seen the Holy Spirit, but there comes a believer that walks in the fullness of the, of the fruits of the Spirit. Walk in the fullness of the grace of God. Walk in the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit. Not just fruits, but also gifts. Not just gifts, but also fruits. And that creates a real balance for the believer of today, and sends a whole lot of demand into the realm of the Spirit upon, you can talk about satanic systems, you can talk about even governmental structures, even structures that we have established in our natural environment. So our object is not nice teaching. It's not just powerful teaching, but the object is we want to see transformation. The word that is coming forth must be a word that brings you to where the word is. So that when you are listening, you want to listen beyond the voice of the preacher. You want to hear the voice of Christ. When you are listening, you want to listen beyond the voice of the instructor. It is called revelation, uncovering of something that is already in existence in the realm of the Spirit comes to us. And once there is revelation, action is taken. Because action must be based on revelation, a new understanding. The reason why I will change the way I behave is because I have come into a new understanding that my behavior is wrong. The reason why I'll begin to take certain bold action is because I'm looking at scriptures, and the scriptures are lightening up with flames, with lightening, with fresh understanding, with such joy, and it builds in you the strength to be able to go out and function in the things of God. So this is the place we find ourselves. And we don't want to take the teachings lightly. We don't want to take the teachings lying down. We want to take these teachings very serious, because they make up for who we really are. I sent a scripture out, was it this morning or yesterday? Yesterday, last night. I sent it last night. And I was saying everybody should comment on it. And I think I saw Cephas bringing up a comment today. If you look at those scriptures, one of the key things, apart from the very things that you will be seeing, is where, for example, Israel came to a point where they had no teaching priest, so everybody was living anyhow. Then in the days of Jehoshaphat, he sent leaders to teach. Suddenly, transformation started taking place, even in finances. So today's body of Christ loves the signs and wonders and the manifestations, but immediately begin to teach. You teach for 30 minutes, people drop in like logs. It's very dangerous. It's not a good spirit. And even people literally see through teachings and it's like, there's nothing about that teaching. What's the value? What's the essence? What does it hold for me? What is in that for me? I'm talking about money, food. You are talking about revelation. A man of God traveled and came back with about 4 bags of books. And the children were like, "Daddy, didn't you buy us any book?" Real story. He told it himself. Didn't you buy us anything? No toys. He said, "No, I bought you the very things that will make you create the toys. I bought you the things that will bring you." I mean, there are people who are following all kinds of people called celebrities and trying to dress like them. And there's a whole big industry that is thriving, that is being built on your self-rejection, your self-devaluation. You are not putting price on yourself. So somebody says, "Okay, look like me and feel like you." That is fake. That is fake. So immediate revelation begins to come. All these things begin to break apart, and we begin to walk in sound wisdom. I love that word, that phrase. Sound wisdom. There is a wisdom that is corrupt, but we need sound wisdom. Very sound wisdom. We need wisdom that brings about creativity. So these teachings are supposed to bring you to a place. In the book of Acts, I think that is chapter 20, the verse 32, Apostle Paul, probably, let me say, has finished his work in Ephesus and was journeying out and was giving charge. So I'm starting from there into my teaching. In Acts chapter 20, let's find it. Yes, the verse 32. So Apostle Paul was giving charge to the elders, and he told them in the verse 27 that he has not held back, he has not shunned, he has not crammed himself low. He has stood boldly to declare the whole counsel of God. Is it possible for us to discover the whole counsel of God? Yes. And that word counsel is very important, because we are beginning to talk about God's original idea of things. How church should be built, how family should be built, how your life should be built, how children should be built. I mean, everything, every facet of human existence. I have never failed to declare the whole counsel of God to you. So in the verse 32, Apostle Paul goes on to say, "So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified." There is something called inheritance. I mean, people are chasing after cars. We are going after inheritance. Beloved, it has to be more than cars. If it's not more than cars, then why are we sitting here? You can crash a car and that is it. You can just crash a car. As a matter of fact, you can just start moving it from the showroom. You've not even registered, and that is it. You crash it and that is it. Money gone. As a matter of fact, in our world, immediately you drive it out of the showroom, it has started losing value. The price is coming down. So what is car? We are looking for eternal riches. We are looking for inheritance. We are looking for that which makes up for things that stand in eternity, not physical riches. Not just those things. We are looking for real. So Apostle Paul is saying that, "I commend you to the word of his grace, to God and to the word of his grace, that is able to transport you to a place of inheritance." So people listen to the word of God and they listen absent-mindedness. They listen in stupor without an engagement. Engage the word of God when it is coming, because it carries something on it called grace, the grace of his word. There is something on it. Grace is not just namiadom. Grace is a divine resource. It's a divine enablement. It's divine empowerment. Grace produces ideas. If we have to talk about impacting the world around us, grace is able to produce powerful ideas that bring changes to your own life. Grace is able to cause you to dream dreams that are impossible for the natural mind to comprehend. You do the impossible things because God created you to do the impossible. To do the impossible. So we need to step, my emphasis in starting this evening's teaching is that we need to step into the place of grace through what? Engaging the word. And that word, engaging, is not just, okay, I'm listening and drinking it in. But beyond, I have listened. My lecturer in school used to tell me, that's 2003. It says, "This question I'm giving to you, solve it 20 times. Yo, I've told you, I said solve it 20 times. I mean, that's amazing. You solve it 20 times. You have the figures before you. You are able to just tell the figures. This one is this and this one, you put it here. I mean, you sing it. You sing it. We need to come to the point where we begin to sing the word of God by our conduct. By who we are, by our existence, by our expressions, by what we do, by what we develop. I mean, I'm sitting back home and I'm dreaming about the children that we need to set up an innovation center where our children are just springing up with ideas and building things, and we say one day we have an exhibition. And even if it's one person that brought an idea, we all rally around it. We go for an exhibition. We are looking for inheritance, not cheap things. I mean, Jesus Christ died, he paid with his blood. And you see people today gathering and collecting offerings. Yes, offerings. There you gather and collect offerings and go. When there's something serious. A lot of people have become wise master blessers. rather than wise master builders. We want to be a church that is building. We talk about building on the inside, building on the outside. We talk about church that is transforming. So we need to latch. You see your strap to your shoe or your bag, we need to latch to the word of God. So wherever it goes, we go. Wherever the word of God appears, we are there. We need to enter. I call it entrance by revelation. So if we don't look into these things, we don't know how God thinks. The only way, so we're going to see how God thinks right now. So we've been talking about the reward of a prophet. We've defined who a prophet is. And we say that a prophet is a servant of God. I don't want to say a man of God, because we have a certain kind of understanding of who a man of God is. A man of God must be one who has a big church. A man of God must be one who is who has a big car. He has a big house. He's on TV. Those are called men of God. He's on radio. I mean, you go, you drive through town, you see his stickers of every car. That is a man of God. I mean, in certain respect, a man of God is defined by the color. If you're not wearing that color with that blue thing, wear the black one, blue thing like Akko, Tibrofo, you know, that kind of. And then he said, that's a man of God. Somebody saw me and he said, this afternoon, he said, are you a preacher? And I said, why are you asking? And I said, I sing very well. He said, your voice sounds like a preacher's voice. It's not this natural voice. There are several people who have this voice. Even sweeter than this one, if I may say. Palatable, if I may say, than this one. But she heard something in the voice and said, no, this voice has the voice of somebody else in it. That person is called a preacher. It's not me. That person is called Christ. He's a preacher. So he said, you sound like a preacher. Then the lady said, he's a man of God. So we said, a prophet is a servant of God. So you, a believer, born again today, can be sent. You become a servant of God. In fact, this is the way I put it. If you love God enough, if you love God plenty, 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 you qualify to be a servant of God. Finish. Capable to be sent. Mary Magdalene loved him so much, broke the alabaster box, poured it. Jesus says, wherever we preach this gospel, your name will constantly be mentioned. We don't mention your name, but spiritually, there are angels that are standing and sounding the name of that woman wherever the word of God goes. Love God enough, you qualify to be a servant. There are many people in the pulpit who do not love God, yet they are called men of God. Those are not the ones we are describing. We are talking about men truly sent. Okay, now we said the reward of a prophet, we define a number of them. One key principle that holds for us is that we said that let me see if I can remember it real quick. We said the thing that is of real value is the spiritual, or we said the spiritual is the thing that is of real eternal value. So you see, people go to prophets and they go to prophetic meetings. Yes, there are several meetings that they call prophetic meetings. They are not prophetic meetings. And this night looks like I'm blasting. They're not prophetic meetings. They are just a display of the gift of the Spirit, which is good, but not necessarily a prophetic meeting, because prophetic meeting is broad. We are talking about a bunch of stuff. We are talking about building process. We are talking about finding the design of God's mind concerning matters, concerning his purposes for human existence, for life, for church. I mean, let me call it, a prophetic meeting should be a strategic meeting where we step into it. If you study the book of Jeremiah chapter 23, it says that these men were not sent by me simply because they did not stand in the counsel of God, where we go for council meeting. Daniel chapter 7 says that, and the throne was set, and 24 thrones were set in place, and the court was in session. The books were open for judgment. Those strategic meetings we pull. How many prophetic meetings did Daniel organize? You see, we quickly take Elijah, or we take Elisha and a woman in chapter 4 of 2 Kings, who the widow's wife, and we quickly take her, and we multiply several people, and we put them in the same situation of the woman. We have prophetic meeting so that we can minister to their needs. When there is a pure divine flow coming from that story, so we want to learn something. The reward of a prophet is beyond natural things, even though it includes them. It includes your problem being solved. But let me also quickly say that the prophetic is not a panacea. You know, you have headache. What's a panacea for curing the headache? Panadol, something like that. Some painkiller. The prophetic is not a panacea for curing problems. People think that when they run to a prophet, all the problems in their life, if I don't tell you the truth, I'll be deceiving you. The prophetic is not a panacea for solving. It's a panacea to meet God's heart desire to spread his kingdom in the earth. So look at it. In Isaiah chapter 51, the verse 16, it says that, "For you have covered me in the shadow of your hands, and you have put your word in my mouth." That is standing in the counsel of God and proclaiming, making visible, manifesting the mind of God. For what? That you might plan the heavens. The prophetic is not a panacea for solving people's problem. Jesus solved people's problem. Yes, we will solve people's problem, but we don't need to place the cart before the horse. We need to place the horse right where it belongs. So that we have this understanding, we step into all of these. We step into solving our problems, but we know that, you wake up in the morning, your light bill will still be there. The prophet will come and solve that for you. Somebody sent me a message. People do not, I don't blame them, and I don't get angry. People do not understand what prophetic is, what a prophetic office is for. Prophet, my wife said, when I'm asleep, I've been smiling. I can read it for you. Prophet, I want to know whether there's any spiritual meaning to it. I said, well, babies smile a lot. When they are asleep. Charlie, is that all right? Babies, when they are asleep, you see them smiling. But, you know, I said that, I know he didn't understand. I said, babies, grow up, and stop being a baby. You know, you're asking me, does it have any spiritual meaning? But quickly, I said, listen, it means that you're a fulfilled man. You're happy. You're alive. But I didn't read the first part. So the prophetic is a panacea for solving people's problem. We want to get real reward. Now, let me quote this one real quick. In Ephesians chapter 3, the verse 2, Apostle Paul said, "The grace of God that is given to me for you." The grace of God given to me for you. So now I'm driving home. Man of God, servant of God, the believer that God. There are several men of God yet not sent by God. Didn't you read the Bible? One man ran and comes to the David said, "What's the news?" He said, "I've got no news. I have not got any news for you." People are on self-appointment. As long as they are on their own, they are running in the power of their own fleshly energy. They have appointed themselves to tasks that God has not given. They are fighting battles that Jehovah has not approved. It leads to death. It leads to destruction. It leads to a wiping off. Fight battles. God must say, he is the chief. He said, and he lifted his eyes, Joshua, and he saw an angel with a drawn sword. And he asked him, "Are you for us or you are against us?" Does Joshua think he can find that one standing there? By asking, "Are you for us or against us?" He said, "I am the captain of the host of the Lord. Now I have come. I'm come to command you. Don't come and give me direction." So we can't do this thing thinking we're succeeding by our own self. Let me not lose because focus. So we've talked about several things. We've talked about building a culture of honor. We've talked about even honoring the elderly, because so it is. Honoring our children. Honoring our husbands and wives, our bosses. We've talked about all of this. Our pastors. And I've shared several examples with you. because we want to be a very cultured people. There are some things you will not hear elsewhere. I happen to have witnessed a pastor who was talking to the youth. There was some of the guys in the youth, and this guy in the youth has his hand around the waist of one young lady, and the pastor was going gaga. He was going mad. If he has his way, he'll just slaughter. People are not disciplined. I go to my boss and I put my hands in the back. My boss is talking to me like that. Yes. And I'm like that. If we pull that culture, it help us. I can never do this before my boss. If I don't know how what you'll be thinking about me. And my boss, in fact, he will look at you. he will start looking at you like, you know, there's something wrong with you, but you don't even know what exactly is wrong with you. Yes. So we want to build serious culture. You don't go say I've sent Abraham and Charity. I mean, we should know who is leading the team. You know, those things, that's why some churches have chaos. They don't understand ranking. So everybody wants to be the leader at once by force. Can you imagine you are driving and your friend that is sitting by you also holds a seat and turns it that way?
Accident.
It's called accident. Very sure. So we want to learn proper culture. Now, there is this case I want to bring to you in the Bible about Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 4, you may want to read. In the first part, Satan had just finished tempting Jesus. He came back in the verse 14. Verses 14 and 15, and Bible said that he returned in the power in the power of Holy Ghost and in the Spirit. And then he went to the synagogue. He talked, and all his fame spread through. Everybody heard about Jesus Christ. Now, from there, he went to the synagogue. In fact, in the same synagogue, he took the book. In fact, when he entered into the synagogue, they gave him the book, and when he opened to Isaiah. He opened to the book of Isaiah, and he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has blah, blah, blah." He went down now. In fact, Jesus actually declared his manifesto, why he is in the earth, what he will be doing, what his purposes are. So he declared it. Now, when he declared that, something unique began to happen in the atmosphere around them. And let's just look at those. Luke chapter 4. Something unique started happening. Let me read from verse 18. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind." Very important. Physical sight and spiritual sight. "To set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. Verse 21, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." I'm not commenting so much on that particular verse, but let's move on. Now, verse 22, then he said, Bible said, all bore witness to him, or basically everybody said, "This is the Christ." Everybody said, "He's the man," because the words that are coming from him, the power that is exuding, they listen to him, they can hear the voice of another, they can hear the voice of the one who sent him. That is called discernment. We said that last week. Okay. Now, will you be surprised that in the same chapter, by the time we are arriving, let me look at, yes, verse 23. Jesus began to say something. Just imagine this conversation that is going on. He read a book, everybody bore witness. Then Jesus shifts. He suddenly shifts. He has perceived certain things in the atmosphere, because the far to see, the ones who cannot see far, the Pharisees were there. The Sadducees, I call them sad to see. I mean, when they start seeing the things of God, they are sad. They need to remain. They are lawyers. They are lawyers. The far to see people, the Pharisees, they were experts in the laws of Moses, what we call the ceremonial laws. They know the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, and the prophets. They know it. But these scribes, the Bible talked about scribes, they're called teachers. And they were some places they're called lawyers. They were experts in the law. So he knew these people were around. So Jesus, like we say in our parlance, he changed the meter band. Like we speak in English right now, then we change to proper. We start speaking something. Abraham is lost. Daniel is lost. Endless is gone. Have the whole church, everybody is lost. Now you hear, you start hearing all over the place. What's happening? What is this man talking about? So look at what happened. Verse 23, and he said to them, you surely say this proverb to me. So something was going on in the heart. Who said this? Bible said all bore witness. So who said this thing? He perceived. He said, you surely say this proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself. What's that proverb? How do you say it in that way? Okay, something, something. That's what they are telling Jesus Christ. You are here talking about blind eyes and this and that and that. Physician, heal yourself first. You see, they are missing the man. I'm talking about receiving a prophet. Look at the story carefully. Time. Receiving the prophet. We must understand that the reward of the prophet is bound with the prophet. Matthew chapter 10, 44. He said, he who receives you, receives me. And shall share, partake, involve, get integrated into that grace that is called a prophet. And it means that the person becomes, function, there are releases, there is permission to move on in life. So, physician, heal yourself. And stop telling us about. You said this proverb to me. Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country. So we heard of you that you were healing people and doing miracles and produce. Do it here, let's see. If you know, it's like, God, I challenge you. If you are God, do it. That kind of thing. And God doesn't satisfy our emotions and our challenge. He satisfies his will. I've been saying this, God exists for himself. He exists for who he is. So verse 24, then he said, assuredly I say unto you, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. So we see the issue of receiving here. Accepted, receiving, embracing, discerning the prophet, discerning the sent man, the man that is sent, who is carrying grace, that can change circumstances and bring the influence of God to bear upon things. He said, no prophet. But verses 22 and 26 holds a key. He said, but I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout the land. Many widows. Now look at where Jesus Christ is going. This is a widow. This is a woman who is separated from the husband by some form of onslaught, we can call what? Death. I want you to understand something very well. This is a church. In the Bible, metaphors are very great. If you look into the Bible uses woman. It speaks of church. Someplace it speaks of spirit. But this metaphor speaks of church, symbolic of who the church is, the body of Christ. We have a body of Christ that is separated by death from the husband. Where is Jesus Christ? Why are we going to celebrate the marriage feast?
He's coming back again.
Then there's going to be, behold, the bride of the Lamb, who has prepared and made herself ready for a marriage supper. So you can see some clear distinction. Now, but Jesus is saying that there were many people in Israel at the time. And this widow was also there. The heavens were shut. So talk about famine, diseases, no power of God, no manifestation, no affluence, no prosperity, no breakthrough, no miracle. Name them.
Name them.
And this church was in the midst of that condition. Is it so different from the conditions we exist in today? So we have our church, for example, planted in the earth. See it to mean heaven and the earth. Planted in the earth. And there are many churches. Bible said many people, many families, many households. There are many churches in the land. But verse 26, but to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath. Yes, there's something significant about Zarephath. Except the Elijah never went to the sent man, the man with the grace, the reward of the prophet, was not sent into the home of Abraham, man, except to this only one woman in a place called Zarephath. And this woman had only one son. I'm giving you prophetic metaphors in the Bible. Zarephath, widow woman, and a son. And what did this woman have? You know the story in 1 Kings 17. We may not read all. Small meal, a jar of water, ready to eat and die. A church without hope. A church without future. A church without prophetic sight. I would rather be in a place, I mean, in terms of condition on my mind, of emptiness. I mean, crammed and filled and full, yet hungry. Satisfied, yet longing and demanding for more than to come to the place and say, I have more. You eat what you have, you die. That is what is happening to our pastors, our churches. They come to me and say, oh, this man of God, what can we get from him? This small boy, what does he have? This one, what can he bring to us? In fact, these are my pastors. If I go to church today, he will preach the same thing. What can he give me?
You miss the reward of the prophet. That was what in the days. So you see, Jesus said,
when you are a physician, heal yourself. Many people saying, this Elijah, he will die, but now he's dead somewhere. But this woman has something we can call hope. She is filled with faith for the future. In that she said, okay, I'm going to have this last word I'm depending on, I'm holding on to. I'm holding on to it. I'm gathering sticks. I'm coming to make fire. I need to bless the Holy Spirit some more. I need to put this whole thing I have against the Holy Spirit. I'm giving you a lot of metaphors. To her alone was, let's say, the prophet sent to. To her alone was the preacher sent to. To her alone was that eternal thing and that breakthrough, the thing that can affect your education and change the path, affect your work, affect your business, affect that thing that can affect your career, that can touch your ministerial calling, was buried in one crazy Elijah who was walking in the bush, in the dry place. No, dry places, there were no bushes. Dry places. And Jesus said, but to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Zidon, to a woman who was a widow. He emphasized it. To a woman who was a widow. 27. And many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. And none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Look at Jesus' list. He said, you were in Elisha's land. In fact, you live behind Elisha's house. When Elisha is praying, you hear him. When Elisha lifts his hand and says, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I stand in your counsel. You hear him. Yet you are a leper. You could not go to Elisha to get a miracle, to get a change, to get a shift. In fact, let me put it this way. You could not go to Elisha to lay hold of that pure spiritual strand of power and grace. But Naaman came from Syria with all of his worldliness, and receive a change. Or let's put it this way, in a better way, let's say he touched the grace of God that is able to make him have an inheritance in the same. You think God healing Naaman was just like an ordinary thing? It was so unique in that it was pulling upon such divine resource that can build nations. Such divine resource that can change churches. Okay, so with that background, let's see just something a bit and then we wrap up. Now, the question you should be asking yourself is, why Jesus Christ talking about Zarephath? He said he was sent to a widow. I've explained to you, widow, a woman, talk about church. You're talking about existing in the conditions of death. Yet,
this is a principle. Existing in the conditions of death, yet laying hold of an eternal reality and
pulling it here. So, Zarephath, we're going to go into it. Zarephath means refinement. Refinement. This one is existing in the place of death, but yet she is processing herself. She's being cleansed. Her mind is shifting. Consciousness of the things of God is taking place. She is being processed. Refinement. Zarephath means to come to that place of personal change, personal transformation, a shift in your understanding, a new understanding, to be refined. You can't eat it raw, that food, that fruit or mango or whatever. You must allow it to be ready. It means to come to a place of readiness. Readiness. In the region of Sidon. In the region of Sidon. In just the same region of the Palestine. Should I say a fishing community? In the region of Sidon. Now, look at it. In 1 Kings 17, the real story unfolds. Elijah says in the verse 1, Ahab, before God whom I stand, there shall not be rain for these 3.5 years. So it happens. And the Spirit of God says, hey, if you don't move from where you are, you'll die. Go eastward. I'm showing you something. Go eastward. Now, if you're heading eastward and from same place, you move towards Zarephath. Eastward, he is brought to a place called the Brook Cherith. Now, you understand east. East is the place of the rising of the sun. And who is called the morning star? Jesus. He is the brightest morning star. He is the face of the morning. The rising. In fact, you know that the sun actually starts rising midnight. It starts moving midnight, not in the morning. So he is the break, the womb of the morning. He opens the day. Now, if you study the Bible carefully, when the camps were being put together, somewhere in Numbers, in fact, in several places in Numbers, you would see that, in a number of places in Numbers, you would see that Moses, Aaron, and the sons of Aaron, the Levitical community, were asked to pitch eastward towards, in a camp, around the tabernacle, eastward. What are they looking for? They are the people who are looking for the first break of God, the first sight of God, the first coming of God. So, the first thrust of God into the earth. The first doing of God into the earth. Those are the people who are ready to receive the reward of the prophet. In fact, God even said about the priesthood gathering towards the east or encamping towards the east. He said that if a foreigner comes among you, he shall die. I mean, it means that there cannot be foreign spirits when we step. I mean, this is real deliverance. When you step into the place of who Christ is and you see his shining face.
A new light breaks in you. No foreign spirit can hold you and manipulate you.
A reward is coming. So Elijah is asked by God in chapter 17, move eastward to the brook Cherith. So at the brook Cherith, he was made to drink of the brook. You should understand. Refreshed. Sustained by the Holy Spirit. God made the ravens. Unusual miracles happening. A raven bringing you meat. You know, if you know a raven, doesn't joke with food. A raven that does not joke with food carries food and brings to you in the time where there is hunger.
And you do not know that these are angelic beings. I mean, fly, where is food on the land? They bring it from heaven down, sending you angels.
The Bible describes an angelic being in the book of Isaiah called the bird of prey.
I mean, these are real angelic beings.
So this man is by eastward, brook Cherith, and then the brook dries, and then the Lord speaks again. Move towards the gate of Zarephath.
Go to the gate of refinement where people are being processed.
Let's see who will find at the place when people are being processed.
Are we going to find Mark there, or find Endless, or find Daniel, or find some? Are we going to see somebody there at the place of refinement, or everybody will be cozying and resting?
The gate is a place of decision. I mean, God is stepping. Look, things are stepping up spiritually.
Do you know that in ancient times, if the king wants to make a decree, he comes to the gate? Those movies you watch, those are like epic movies and those classics. You see, the king comes to stand in a place that looks like a balcony. He stood at the gate and he speaks to the people and makes a decree. It's solid. He lays hold upon every citizen and any foreigner that enters into that land.
It is at the gate that a father declares proclaims the son
when he has come to a place of sonship, a place of maturity.
It's at the gate where the elders sit. So Bible says in the book of Proverbs concerning the beautiful woman.
31, the beautiful woman, it says that the husband sits with the elders at the gate. It's a place of decision making. It's a place of authority.
The gates in Bible also symbolizes spiritual authority, both good and evil. The gates of hell, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. The gates of hell shall not prevail. You understand this dynamic? So Elijah, he said, Elijah, go. Go towards the gate of Zarephath. Go to the place where men are stepping, human beings are stepping into the counsel of God in the midst of death, where there is no revelation breaking for, where there is no supply of food. In the midst of death, when everybody takes the Bible and all they preach is something else, there is no sound of God coming through. Where are the company of believers? I'm speaking of something very high this evening. Where are the company of believers? Church, that will say, okay, everybody is doing it this way, but we want to step into the counsel of God. We want to step into the place of God's strategic meeting. We want to understand His mind. We go to the gate to gather sticks. We look for the right sticks. Shall we find it? It is at the same place we are being refined.
So does it mean that if people are not stepping into the gate, there is no refinement going on? According to Elijah and the widow and Zarephath, yes.
This woman is about to receive a unique reward. Jesus says, many people were, don't you think they were rich people? Don't you think they were big churches?
We now know the woman is a church and he has a son. God is leading us somewhere.
Don't you think that there were people who also have spiritual sons? And they call, this one is my spiritual son, that one is my son, that one is my son, that one is my spiritual daughter. Don't you believe some rich folks even had barns, they have kept food? How did Ahab survive? We were not told how many people died during that famine. Perhaps a lot died. But a lot of rich people. Because it's an agrarian community or agrarian society, they store food. So definitely, people will be surviving 3.5 years. For some of the food, they are able to store as far as 7 years, because God allows them shut this whole operation, let the land lie fallow for 7 years. So you have to store that for 7 years and come and plant.
But to whom did God send a prophet to the world? Why was it so unique? A widow. Why was it so unique? This there are several principles in this. You see, this widow, she's hungry, she's thirsty, she needs more of God. We need to step into a real place of real hunger. People come into a place, they get one single breakthrough, and then they forget about God. Like Cephas wrote today, when the breakthrough is over, they are messing up, then they now, and God is punishing them. Or, you know, sometimes God just looks at you. You leave his side, and then after God's side is the devil. If you jump from God, you meet devil. If you run from devil, you meet God. So people meet devil, and devil treats them and shows them discipline in life. Takes them to some bondage, takes them to some camp, locks them, all kinds of ideas are in their head. They are messed up. They are torn into pieces. They are so destroyed, they cannot lift their head. Why will God send to a widow in Zarephath? Are you spiritually hungry? Do you listen to teachings and go back to them? Are you stepping into the gates, into the counsel of God? Jeremiah 20. Are you trusting yourself into God? Are you pressing into the kingdom? Are you placing a demand on the things of God? You know, Sundays is when some people open their Bible, they dust it Sunday morning. Boom! Boom! Say, I'm ready for church. When they land home, that Bible is shut there. What kind of philosophies? Please let me say this. There are a lot of things flying around. What are you believing? Especially this WhatsApp, is so deadly. It used to be Facebook. Now it has jumped in. It is working in WhatsApp now. The kind of information. Every day, how many videos do you get? You get plenty. You wonder. Me, I don't. There are some I don't open. No. I mean, you are sending all kinds of videos. No, I'm not talking about you. I mean, no. There's somebody, an elderly person. Elderly person. And then he can send you about 4 videos. What do you want me to do with it? So by the time I'm going to spend 10 minutes, 2 minutes, watch a video, then I'll be thinking about the video. I've lost my focus and meditation. I don't open up for those things. My wife, if you send her a video, she will tell you what is in. She'll come chatting with you. What is in the video? Give her introduction. She needs to understand. She's not going to open and, oh, what is. No, 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 no. Somebody sent me a video on WhatsApp some 2 years back. Man, I think I still have it somewhere. It carries the face of this new ages guy. Looking like, you know, people can paint in their eyes, they look like horror. You know, that kind of, they look like some horror. And the thing started, say, put your finger on number one. So you are watching a video, you put your finger, put your finger on this. Put your finger on that. Keep holding it. Then a sound starts coming. Then the sound comes like, excuse me, it comes like, and the face is looking at you. You start shivering. What am I getting from that video? So immediately I saw the video, I became angry. I picked my phone, I started calling the person. And the person knew that the video had that effect on me. Will never pick the phone. After about 3 hours, say, why were you calling me? Say, if you had picked that call at that time, I would have come through the phone to tear you into pieces. So all kinds of things people are reading. Where were all the other people when this man was searching for snakes? Were they also searching for snakes? It was cold. It was dangerous. Even look at the one that happened in the day of Elisha. They ate human beings. We are not told how many human beings were ate, were boiled in pot, eaten and all. Beloved, we need a church that is strong. The church that receives the reward of the prophet is the check that pays the price.
Let's pay the price.
I'm going to wrap up in a way. Go back, look at this story in Luke 4 and read chapter 17. Think through it. Revelations will spring up. I listened to a man of God and said, I prayed 25 years for God to take me to heaven.
It's not about taking to heaven. That's what I'm following after. But the tenacity for 25 years.
I watch a man of God who ministers and he just stands before you and said, there's a metal in your chest. Am I right?
That metal was put there in June, 25th of June. So. And it was done at this hospital.
I mean, so beautiful. The guy is just talking. Then there he goes. It's running.
I mean, he's seen a video, and the video is running before him.
You know what he says? He said, I've waited all my life for this. I prayed for 43 years for this.
People who have gone ahead of me 50 years in ministry, having served God 50 years, lay hand on him. And said, with all that we have, you are coming into. All the places we have walked, you are coming into. We pour all our grace in you. Even with that level of impartation, 50 years, the guy still waited 43 years to walk in some of these things. So today, a believer prays. He said, I pray, nothing is changing.
Okay. Nothing is changing. What are you trying?
There are only two things, God and devil. So show me what you're going to try. In the realm of the spirit, there is no idleness. No. If you leave this thing in the realm of the spirit, by the time you come back, it has moved here.
That is how come some of the principles you learn. You learn the Bible, then you realize that, I've lost this principle. I need to go back and get it because you're not practicing it.
That's where the gift of the spirit, if you don't use it, then I lost. I don't see top.
This is a widow. A widow is a chaste woman. She's separated from all of these things of her. She is dead. Her senses are dead.
The appetite. One of my former pastors is elderly.
He said, can you imagine I was coming to church and these two ladies, they started doing some things on the road. So I look at them. Then I also turn my briefcase because Jesus is Lord. I said, you see that I'm a preacher. He said, what am I going to do with that meat? That meat. I am old. What do I need that meat for?
He is dead.
That's the way. He is dead. He said, that thing is just like cow meat. I'm not going to fool after. It's just like cow meat. He seasoned his senses to this thing. That is a church. We want to be a church that is living in the spirit. Not a church that is pursuing cars. Cars are good. You will get cars. Jesus said, which of you? You said you have left father, mother. I think in Mark, they were complaining. You have left father, mother. Okay. So which of you have walked, come and follow God and have not received double? No, we our priorities are not right in church. It's like we feel we'll die in 60 years. So if we don't get it at 40, something will happen to us. Look, if God wanted to be a billionaire, he can close his eyes.
When he opens it, you are there.
Somebody said when the devil misbehaved in heaven, God just closed his eyes open and the devil was out of heaven. He didn't need to lift a finger.
You don't know the God you believe in.
And this church had a son. Let's hear something.
This church has the next generation. What kind of church? I'm talking about something beyond receiving the word of the prophet. You, me. I'm talking about a church
that can position itself when everybody's pursuing something. Look, it means our prayer must change. It means the way we pray, the way we see God. We must start placing a certain demand on the things of God. And God will say, okay, let me send them Elijah. You know who Elijah is? You can talk about he stopped the rain and all of that. Elijah is a father. So he comes. This child is dead.
I've said a number of principles. You're not writing. Talk about he has a son. That's a generational mindset in view. He has a future inside.
So we can talk about he has
grooming leaders for the future. It's not a church that is saying, okay, I have this one dying. That is it.
It's a church of faith. It's a church that believes in the extraordinary.
That woman probably had not seen Elijah before. Elijah didn't introduce, I'm Elijah. But the woman said, I have this and I want to eat and my son will drink this water and die. Go prepare something for me first. It's a church that is selfless. It's a church that has ripped apart the flesh. Me. I've been telling you there is me, I church. Everything is me, I, God, me. When they go to God, they never can say, God, are you hungry? Can we serve you some food? Do the will of Him. Can we do your will? What is the discovery? So when you raise a prayer topic, let's pray. Let's pray according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, that the kingdom of God will come. People don't understand because they are locked up. Okay, let's pray that God will give us a miracle for a car. They understand that one. But pray that God release your mind, your plan, your standard. You don't understand. We have a weak church. We have work to do. All of us. We need to shift generational mentality. Looking towards. And lastly, the several principles. But lastly, this boy dies. And what happened? Elijah. Do you see a principle of fathering? There are several fathers today who are carrying kings and chasing their sons and their daughters from the house. Hey! There's something around. There are several fathers today who are crying, I have no sons, so you chase your sons out. You were the same person who kept chasing them. You, when your friends are sitting at the beer parlor and drinking, you get up and say you are going to church. Push him to go and drink beer. By the time he drinks beer for the next 5 years, his stomach is like, I see a lot of the young men, they are not taking good care of themselves. They want their stomach to be big, then they wear beer. What are you doing to yourself? If your stomach is not big, you know, some people are naturally big. That is them. But you are like me. You are developing a big stomach. Slim legs. Slim body, you look like Ichanda, you know Ichanda, you know. You look like Muchurudu, something. Then you are looking like a cartoon. Let's feed you on the right things. Elijah came, lay on the sun. It speaks of father. Yes, he is a father. We want the reward of the grace of fathers. If, for example, we have leaders who are put in capacities, they must function as fathers. People who are able to produce small children. Charity has 5 church members already. You didn't see Charity's church members last Sunday. Mm-hmm. 5 of them. Mm-hmm. Powerful people for the future. She said, that as for the guys, they worry too much. Please rise and let me just end here. I think later, much later, we'll go into the Elijah spirit. I have a whole teaching there in the power, in the spirit and the power of Elijah. This aspect will feature. You cannot run a church as if it's an accident that is waiting to happen. The pastor dies and the whole church scatters. We need to run a church that is longevity. We need to have a long view of matters. The last point, rise. The last point is that this widow has something called faith. This church has faith. Out of nothingness. Please, listen to this word. Out of nothingness. She gives out of what? Nothing. She has nothing, but she gives. Out of nothingness. Some money appearing?
No.
But it looks like the thing that pays money into that.
Yeah,
no, oh, may God make it brand new. Abraham, you see the kind of what we need to be?
So you preach this thing, people, this preacher
is too book long. This is not book long. This one is Jesus long. If you cannot fit in, he's the one who said it. It's not me. He said,
go and check on the widow of Zarephath.
So we just went to the widow of Zarephath and look at the widow of Zarephath. And we are getting meaning. She gives. We don't want to be a church that is POP.
You don't want to be POP church. We have pastors, they come and preach to us, then we give them 50 Ghana to pick, and then they are going home, they are angry. The anointing is frustrated. I don't want that. It says, do unto men as you want. So if we treat them well, that is why when I see a stranger, like foreigners, David, the way I receive them, why? I don't know where one of my sons will be one day. I don't, if I say my sons, not just my biological, but people in this church could find themselves anywhere. And somebody just take you, come, live in my house, I feed you, I give you money, I get you a job, I do this, I reposition you. We are there playing church. We collect money and may God help us. Now the sign of prosperity is to have a big stomach. And the preachers are following it. May God deliver our church. Let's learn to give. Let's outgive ourselves. Let's give and give. Out of nothingness, the widow's mite. That is another widow. The widow's mite. Everybody is wearing everything. The widow comes. And Jesus says, locate that church in the land. That is the most powerful church when it comes.
God bless you. Please just pray briefly. Just talk to God. God, let this understanding remain in us. God, let this understanding be applied. God, open my eyes more. Even I've heard it, but I do not really understand it. Bring me into depth. Bring me into the river. I want to jump into this river. Like Ezekiel. I want to come to the place where the river will overtake me. Like Ezekiel, I want to come to the place where the river will be overflowing. The river, the waters that are coming from the threshold of a temple in heaven, bringing cleansing, bringing healing, bringing revelation. Oh God, let a work be done in our hearts. Change our belief system. Change the way we see you. Let us see you through your own very eyes. Bring us into the very place of your conception, your very place of your first thinking. Before it springs up, make us stand in your counsel. Make us stand into the gate of refinement, to be refined and purified, to be changed, oh God, to be men processed by you. Bring us as a church to a place of great sacrifice. We want to be a place, we want to be a church of great giving. Financially, time, passion, strength, all that we are, we want to give. Lord, build in us the capacity to be a church that is giving. That is giving, that is offering more, that is giving more, that is giving more. Oh God, we want to lay hold of eternal values. We want to lay hold of eternal realities. We want to lay hold of the thing of eternity. Build in us grace. Pour upon us grace today. Make us, oh God, like that woman that stood at the gate of Zarephath, a church that is rightly positioned to meet the grace that belongs to it. Oh Jesus, a church that is positioned to meet the grace that belongs to her. We want to be. We want to step into the reward of a prophet. We want to place the demand upon the reward of a prophet. The grace of the prophet rests upon us. I give you praise. I give you all the glory.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Locate the Testimony of Christ Center at Suite 6 on the ground floor of the complex Millennium Building, Community 9, Jema, Ghana, West Africa. Call us on +233 266 667 5548 or +233 208 888 5360. Email us at agbemark@live.com.